Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Nate Darling Show, and happy Memorial Day weekend. We're recording a little earlier this week, and in a little bit of an unfamiliar location to some of us.
So foreign.
Yes.
Exotic.
Out of Midtown, across the river, into South Natomas.
Welcome to the burbs. I'm sorry. We've rebranded. We're not really South Natomas here. We are River Oaks.
Oh, that's right. River Oaks. Sorry.
But more specifically, we are on Couch Island.
Yes.
Which is Christiana's couch, as Nate said, is about as big as his apartment.
It's close, yeah.
It is a big couch.
I don't know that this would fit in my living room. Yep. You know what? Actually, it would. But I'd have to move my TV. I could put it in. I could make it happen. I can do things.
You can do it.
All right. Coming up on this week's show, we've got a lot to talk about. Is it possible to be too pretty? Is that a problem? Is the mayor of Toronto smoking crack? And is it on video? And how can you help see it? And Wolf Blitzer meets an atheist. But first...
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, I'm disappointed.
Well, he was, too. He was going for the big, deep... God soundbite over the tornadoes, and I didn't quite get what he was going for, so we'll look at that a little bit later.
Right.
But first, we just finished watching the Formula One Grand Prix in Monaco.
Woo!
It was the best
Yay!
I've ever seen.
Christiana and I are both big Formula One fans. Ted and Becca, this was your first Formula One race, so what did you guys think?
It was really fun. I had a good time, and there's like... The ladies, what are they called? This is terrible. The ladies who have the super cute dresses and the go-go boots. And
they're on. I don't know if they have an official name. I want to go with Grid Girls.
I think Grid Girls.
Yeah, I think so.
And they are fantastic looking. And I have a new job aspiration, basically. And that probably wasn't the point of the race, but it was a highlight for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You fighting with your microphone over there?
A little bit. We're good. We're fine.
Also, we had donuts and brunch before the race, and that was amazing as well.
And mimosas.
So
that made the race
fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good time. We got Marie's donuts. I picked up Marie's donuts this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Got to meet the worst person in Sacramento.
It's official.
Well, two of the worst people in Sacramento. I got guy who jogs to the donut shop with no shirt on.
Hot.
That guy, yeah. And then he's getting all the donuts, and he's going, I want two of those, and they're putting them all in a box. And he gets to the very end, and there's a line of people starting to build up behind him. And he goes, oh, sorry, could I get those in a bag? So meanwhile, and he turns to me. You know, he was nice enough, but he turns to me and goes, oh, I'm sorry. So he's obviously a dumb guy. Because it's like, you didn't know they were going to put it. They were putting them in a box in front of your eyes, dude. So I get past him, and it caused the other person in the donut shop to actually have to take orders. So that was tough on them. So she got my order and gave me my change, and I slid the box down and grabbed my change so that I wouldn't be in the way of anybody because I'm considerate. And then I get the guy who needs to be chatty who comes up, and he stands next to me and goes, those gonna be for breakfast, for lunch and dinner. Like, no, I'm actually going to a party. And I'm thinking, that's going to be it, the one line? No. He then follows up with, hope there's lots of coffee.
He's a comedian.
Maybe he wanted to come to the party. He wasn't doing anything, so...
Yeah, he's doing nothing with his life. That's what I've surmised from the whole thing, other than trying to strike up really awkward conversations with complete strangers that are vaguely insulting.
But the donuts were delicious.
They were worth the
insults.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going down to the donut shop and vaguely insult the first person I see.
Right after I inconvenienced the person behind the counter and asked for a bag after they packed up my donuts in a box.
Oh, it was two different people.
Although if
I could combine the two people into one, that would be awesome.
Run the gamut.
But yes, lovely brunch, lovely Formula One. We had everything in the race this year, too. We had some crashes. Mm-hmm. We had a French driver on fire.
Sacre bleu.
We had the safety car.
We had a red flag race, so it was stopped for a while. It was absolutely crazy.
Lots of crashes, a lot of bumper bumps.
Yep.
Lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
People that was great.
Jamming into the back of other drivers. But,
and the Hoff. Don't forget the Hoff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the Hoff.
Cameron Diaz, I don't know why. I think it was because she was the only female celebrity there, but Cameron Diaz got a lot of pre-race screen time.
Oh, yeah. They kept saying, like, there's so many celebrities here. And then they would only show Michael Douglas or Cameron Diaz pretty much 99% of the time. So I don't know how many celebrities there actually were there.
Well, yeah. Ron Howard. I would count Ron Howard as a celebrity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. We all got excited about his new movie that's coming out a little bit later, Rush.
Yeah, it's coming out this summer.
Which is about Formula One.
So it's going to be a good time.
And if you can't wait that long, of course. I mean, he's still the narrator for Arrested Development.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Today.
Oh. I can't wait. That's what we're doing tonight, watching Arrested Development.
Right. But this show's going to go up on Wednesday. So everyone will have told you everything about Arrested Development by the time you hear this. So, And I know people love Arrested Development. I'm down with that. But let's be realistic about it. The show was canceled because people didn't watch the show. So I know in your little clique, it's the biggest thing in the universe, but it's not that big a deal.
It's like an Angels game, people.
Dial it down.
But see, like, as a person, almost all of my favorite shows get canceled after, like, one season. Like, I always love stuff that's, like, a critical darling, but nobody watches it, so it gets canceled, and then I'm heartbroken. And the idea, you know, there's always all these rumors, like, maybe they'll make a movie, maybe they can, you know, put it on cable or something will happen. And that never happens. Like, the cast never comes back together and makes new shows. Your show never comes back from the dead. And the fact that this one did is a miracle. And I think that's why people are so excited.
No, I think it's great. I just think everyone needs to temper it a little bit and dial it back down. You know, it's not, Jesus didn't come back. It's just a TV show.
That would be amazing. Do you think they'll put Jesus back on Netflix?
You know, here's the thing.
The Second Coming will be downloadable.
Right.
All at one
pay-per-view.
Time.
If it were Jesus instead of Will Arnett, I would watch it.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no question.
I don't like Will Arnett.
No, I hate Will Arnett.
I don't really like Will Arnett either, but I like him in that role in Arrested Development because he plays a guy that you're not supposed to like. And so, like, it works that he's unlikable because he's kind of a jerk on the show.
Mm. Okay.
It's true. Right. It's a great show. So, can't wait. Let's talk about it some more.
This is the Arrested Development podcast.
We haven't seen the new episodes, but
we have nothing to talk about.
And there are a lot of people who are going to wait a little bit because there are a lot of people who are going to purge and watch all of them at once. But I'm wondering.
Binge.
You've waited this long. You're right. Binge.
Binge comes purge. After.
And then they're going to purge onto Facebook about it.
Right.
Ah.
If you've waited this long, don't you want to make it last longer? Do you really want to sit down and engorge yourself in 6.5 hours of Arrested Development? Or do you want to, like, space it out a little bit so you can enjoy it longer? I mean, that's just sort of a philosophical entertainment question.
Mm. I think Ted and I, we always have sort of a natural, like, break on our binge TV watching, which is that I can barely keep my eyes open after 9 o'clock at night. So that always makes us pace ourselves because I inevitably fall asleep before we get very far.
Yeah, I'm watching The Killing now because the new season starts on June 2nd. And that's a show that you really can't binge on too much because it's so dark and so intense that after, I did manage to get through a 3-episode block yesterday because I was so intrigued at the end of the second one that I had to watch the next one. But that's one that if you sit and watch that for, like, if you were to go, I'm going to sit and watch all 13 episodes of season one of The Killing. At the end of, if you started at like 8 a.m, by 10 o'clock at night, you would just be the saddest, most emotionally distraught person on the planet.
Is it grisly and violent?
Somewhat, but I mean, really, the murder of Rosie Larson happens in the first episode. Basically,
spoiler.
There's no spoiler in that. Rosie Larson, that's the whole killing part, Ted.
Spoiler.
So they find Rosie Larson, and then the next 2 seasons, not 1 season, 2 seasons, they work on who is the killer. Now, if I would have watched this show in real time, I would have been very angry at the end of season one to not have the resolution. But because I'm watching it on Netflix and I went from season one to season two in 2 seconds, then I'm cool with it. But people were mad, and I completely get that. Because if you've invested 13 weeks in this show and you've watched it and you've gotten that clip, you get to that point and you're like, aha, it's the end of season one. They're going to say who? No, they're not. They're just going to throw out another possibility, and it's like, And again, that's not really much of a spoiler. That's pretty much been out there. So I don't even know the end of it because I'm in the middle of season two. But my goal is to finish it before June 2nd so I can get back to that.
Nice. I'll have to take a chance on it and see if I can handle it or not. You know, Netflix just had that new show. What is it? Hemlock Grove or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. That's also a show that starts with a murder and goes through. And I watched maybe the first like 10 minutes of it. And I was like, okay, I'm out. There's like so much blood and blah. And I don't know. I'm too wussy for a lot of things.
The killing, not really that much blood. It's really more of a psychological thing. It's the psychological study of what happens to the parents of the girl who was murdered and how they handle the investigation, because they get hope and then hope is sort of taken away. And then, no, this isn't the person. And we think this is the person. And you've got, I mean, it's just very, it's emotional. There's a lot of emotions going on, but it's a really good show. So I'm stoked on that. Dexter comes back on June 30th, so that's about a month away, the final season of Dexter. And there's a new show, the name escapes me right now, on Showtime. It's going to premiere after Dexter. Ray Donovan, starring Liev Schreiber. So that should be very interesting stuff coming up this summer. So how many people felt the earthquake?
I did.
I did not.
Didn't know I felt it, but as it turned out, I felt it.
Ted, you were in Boston, were you not?
No. We were back by then. We were at an old spaghetti factory, though.
Yeah, and our friend got a text from her mother that said, like, oh my gosh, the earthquake, and our lamp fell over, and the water splashed out of the pool. And she was like, is my mom kidding me? Because we were all just sitting there, and everything was fine. And so that's how we found out, was a text from a friend's mother.
Hmm.
We missed it. It's very stable in the old spaghetti factory.
Apparently. Well, right next to the railroad track. Christiana, you're from Southern California. Do you...
I was building an IKEA bookcase in my room. And I was sort of like wedged between two other pieces of furniture because I needed to build it where I could like tip it up and put it into place.
Mm.
And so I was building it, and my dad called me at the precise moment the earthquake struck, which I did not know when it was happening. But I turned to look up, the phone ringing, decided I couldn't like origami myself over all the furniture to get to it in time. Well, I'll just get in a minute, and turned back around, was finishing hammering, and then I was like, oh my god, I'm dizzy, what did I like, did I stand like look too fast, because everything was moving,
am I drunk?
And it was totally weird. I just felt like, you know, I felt like I was going back and forth in my head, and I'm like, that's weird, maybe I need to drink some water. And I finished building the bookcase, and I put it up, and then I got into bed and put on like the rerun of Parks and Rec that my DVR had taped for me. And the beginning of it was the special report of the earthquake hitting. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't dizzy or crazy. It really was moving in here. So, and it's the second one I've felt in Sacramento so far this year.
It's the first one I've felt in Sacramento. It's the first one I've actually felt since living in California. It's the first one I've ever felt in California, whether vacationing or living here. And I was sitting on the floor in front of the couch and on the laptop, and all of a sudden I heard a bang. It was like bang, and I was like, "What the?" And then it felt like somebody basically sort of hip checked the house. It was a very weird feeling. It was it was the same feeling that I got in 2001 when we had an earthquake in Plattsburgh, New York, and it's a slip fault earthquake. So we had that whole weird thing, but. There are a lot of people who felt it and a lot of people who didn't feel it. It turned out to be a 5.7 centered up in the Sierra in the middle of nowhere. But one poor store, there were some jars of...
A lot of Gatorades lost their life that day.
Tomato sauce and glass jars. It was sad. It was sad. And then they had like 100 aftershocks afterwards. So I will not be visiting Lassen Peak, which is a volcano, because when there's a cluster of earthquakes near a volcano... I'm not going near there, at least in the near future. Wait till it calms down. So the King's rally this week, the culmination of all of the gnashing of teeth. The Sacramento Kings will remain the Sacramento Kings for at least the next 35 years.
Wow. Is that for sure?
It is for sure. 35 years, friends.
Wow.
Shit changes.
Holy macaloni.
So that's the deal. And the Kings threw a big party in Cesar Chavez Plaza or park or whatever they call it, and I made my way down there. It was crazy. They had bands, and Tesla, as a matter of fact, as mentioned in the open, was there. There had been some miscommunication. They thought they had booked the band Cake and they hadn't, so
whoopsie.
Yeah.
Did they serve cake at all? Never mind.
I never actually went in because it was kind of crazy, and I went down on my bike, and they did not allow bikes or dogs into the park. So I looked in from the outside, but you could see the stage and just the crush of people. Food trucks, lots of food trucks, which has become a Sacramento thing. The food trucks are multiplying like rabbits around here.
Here's my problem with the food trucks is that at Thursday's Capital Farmers Market on Capital Mall, in the place of where the wood-fired pizza company was supposed to be, was another goddamn food truck, and I didn't get my pizza, and I am pissed.
Oh, wow.
Because why does another food truck? And the food trucks line up, and they just belch their little motors running the whole time to cook their food. I don't get why putting it in a truck suddenly makes it like the thing you have to have.
People are really into food trucks.
The only exception being the red Red Rooster Volkswagen.
Oh, that's the best.
Which They're is so amazing good. And is back in town after an absence that I don't understand. But they were around and doing food truck food way before the other food trucks were doing food truck food.
Okay.
So they get a pass.
We saw him at the Carmichael Farmers Market, and we were like, Waffle Man, are you always going to be here now? And he was like, no. I usually, Sunday mornings, I'm at like Bayside Church or something. And we were like, oh, we're probably not going to go there and find you.
In other news, I'm changing religions.
Oh, boy. Yeah, food trucks have gone nuts in this town. So, speaking of food trucks, there is a new brewery that's opened up on the corner of 18th and Broadway, New Helvetia Brewing Company, and they don't serve food, but what they do, and this is kind of cool, is they have a different food truck in every day.
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's parked right next to it, and the first time I went in there, he's like, yeah, we have a food truck in every day, and we encourage people to, you know, you can go to one of the restaurants here in the Broadway area and bring in food from there, or you can bring food from home if you want. They just want people to come in and try out, and they had very, very good beer. So
that's cool.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, and plenty of bike parking too, which is a good strategy as well. Just nice. a couple of bike parking stands or locking points that look like handheld bottle openers.
Ah, nice.
So kind of cool. So more cool stuff coming to Sacramento.
Hey.
And the big news this week is I don't know if it's big news or not. The Boy Scouts said okay to gay scouts. But still not to gay scout leaders.
So they're still assholes.
So is that big news? Is it not big news? I mean, what do you think, Ted?
Well, I think it doesn't make it, the message is not clear because they're saying, "We'll accept you until you're 18, but you can't work with." It just doesn't make sense. I guess it is big. Would have been big news if they'd gone all the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I'm not a Boy Scout.
What do you think, Becca? Do you think it's a big deal? Do you think it's not a big deal?
I guess the optimist in me wants to say, well, maybe this is a stopping point on the way to doing everything that they should have done, and that's good, and it'll just take a little more time. But I still think it's offensive to say that, you know, that gay adults cannot serve with the Boy Scouts. Like, it still sends the wrong message, but hopefully they're just taking a really long time to get to the right conclusion.
And I think I know what your response is.
I think it's abhorrent, and it pisses me off to see a bunch of people, you know, like I saw young Democrats give them props online and other groups give them congratulations. And while normally I'm okay with some piecemeal steps towards acceptance and whatever, and once again, Boy Scouts can do whatever they want to do because they're a private organization. I don't think they should be sued. There's a punitive bill going through the state legislature right now about their tax status and whatever. I don't think any of that should happen. I think people should just not put their kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's I think it sends a really, really terrible message that you can go through this program, which is ostensibly a leadership development program for kids, teaching boys to be men and find upstanding citizens. But you're not worth it if you're gay. You are not good enough. You are so bad, you cannot come back here when you're done. And I can't imagine saying anything worse or more. I mean, I couldn't. I give my leadership kids the same speech right before graduation every year when they, you know, when we have a group that's finishing the program going on to college. And that's always that, come back, give back to the community, come back and be a leader here. You're always welcome. You know, you do good things. You're a worthwhile person. And I can't imagine telling some kid the exact opposite, which is all this vote does. I think it's even more confusing than it was before. And it just further highlights the fact that these dipshit bigots are convinced that gay is the same as pedophile. because it's not safe to have the grown-up gay men around because you know what they'll do with the boys.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I think it's terrible. Terrible, 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 and they deserve even more bad press.
You've convinced me. I agree even more wholeheartedly now.
Well, on the other side of the question is how sorry about that. That's Wolf Blitzer. Right? We'll get to him later. Stop it. Autoplay. How old are Boy Scouts? What's the age range? I mean, until you get up
to... It's 6 to 18, I think, right? I mean, it's kindergarten. It's all the way through school. If you're an Eagle Scout, it's
high school. I understand that some people understand that they're gay at a very young age, but why are you assigning a sexual identity to kids of that age range?
You're not. They are.
Yeah, that's...
Themselves, maybe.
Yeah, but that's the thing that's really weird. It's like, no, gay Scouts are okay because, well, it just seemed weird to me that you'd be putting a sexuality on kids of that age range in terms of like, oh, well, they're gay, they're straight, they're kids. And I mean, the one good thing about it, and I know you disagree, but the one good thing about it is now kids are kids and it doesn't matter if they identify as gay or not, they're still kids. The bad part is exactly what you're saying, they're kids, but then when they're adults, we don't want you back. So
the message is we can't see you. You can't be a role model. You can't do anything worthy when you're grown up. You're dangerous. You cannot be part of this community anymore. You are out. You are shunned. You are gone. And I can't think of anything worse to tell a kid for something that he's supposed to love, an organization he's supposed to do this because he loves it and because it gives him these opportunities. And so he can put, you know, what does he have to put? Eagle Scout asterisk after his name on his resume later so that, you know.
Well,
I achieved this, but now I can't do anything with this organization, so never mind.
At the same time, I had several gay friends who did post on Facebook that it was a good first step.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'd say among my gay Boy Scout, former Boy Scout friends, it's probably split.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
So we'll see. Hopefully they'll figure it out in the next little bit that they didn't go far enough and they need to just, you know, instead of just screening for gay, how about you screen for pedophile. Mm. Maybe you do that instead. Maybe that's a better
Holy
choice.
Crap, dude.
Exactly.
The Nate Darling Show.
Pedophiles, which they don't
cool.
which they protect, by the way.
Or Tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cooler Tool. This is going to be a new one for some people. Formula One Racing. Ted.
It's cool. I like the explosions and the French people on fire.
Becca?
It's cool. I like the go-go boots and the flag waving and the donuts.
There you go. Christiana?
I still love it.
And yeah.
And my guy won. My favorite driver won today. And that never happens. And it was amazing. And go, Nico. I love you. Spoiler Woo! Alert.
Nico Rosberg, big winner today.
He's adorable. Adorable right. Little German-Swedish guy. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, Formula One is cool. In fact, it's probably if you don't think it's cool, it's probably too cool for you. So settle down, relax, go watch people turn left for 5 hours.
Yeah, which is people are doing today.
A lot of people are doing that today. Up next in Cooler Tool, 35 more years of the Sacramento Kings. Becca.
Cool. I'm really glad the whole drama is over. I think it was really bad for the city, them threatening to go all the time. So I'm glad they're here and we can just get into supporting them.
Ted, what say you?
I totally agree with Becca. I mean, I don't watch the Kings, but, you know, it's good to have them around and we can plan around it and make money off of them downtown. Yada, yada, yada. Go Kings.
Christiana?
I guess I don't have to hear about it anymore. It's cool.
It is.
Except for the first time.
Yes.
On Friday during coverage of this, I heard mentioned that they might take away my Macy's, at which point, fuck you, Kings. And
I don't think they're taking away the Macy's. I think Macy's is one of the stores that they're going to have building in there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'd so far heard that, you know, it wasn't part of the deal and that it like that structure wasn't going to be threatened, but maybe it is going to be. Also, my Starbucks is there, and all my Starbucks people. I don't want them to lose their jobs.
Well, first of all, there'll be another Starbucks.
I know, but where?
It'll be bigger. Yeah, where? Where will there be one? Where will they go? Yeah, 35 more years of the Kings is cool because the people who are growing up here can know that the team is going to be here and not feel like, oh, I can't really invest in rooting for them, and I don't really want to bring my kids to the games to get their hopes up about the team if they're going to be leaving. So it's good for the stability. Now, maybe they can make a logo that doesn't suck because Ooh. I hate the logo.
also a team that doesn't suck?
That would be good, too.
But the Malus are going to leave, right?
They're gone. They've sold.
Okay, so that's, you know, it's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, they're gone. It's Vivek Ranadive is running the show from now on. So there you go. And finally, Boy Scouts for allowing gay kids. Christiana.
They're still tools.
Becca.
Tool.
Ted.
Tool.
They're still rejecting those kids, ultimately.
I think it's cool only because it is a small step in the right direction, but it's not far enough. They need to get the whole thing squared away and screen for pedophiles. And then when you find somebody who is a pedophile in your organization, don't protect them like you're the Catholic Church. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Boy Scouts. Cut it out. Although I did like the article on the Onion about the gay kid now excited that he'll have another reason to be taunted at school. So check
progress.
Check that out on the Onion. Found this very interesting. Now, we've heard a lot of men have Viagra for sexual excitement, and there's been a lot of talk about the female version of Viagra, but that's not really the right way to sort of phrase that. So half a century ago, the birth control pill offered women the ability to switch off ovulation to separate sex from reproduction and played a part as the 60s got underway in propelling a host of profound changes, cultural as well as reproductive, societal as well as intimate, and how women saw themselves and lived their lives, starting with the notion that women being above all baby makers and mothers. The promise of Libredo and similar medication called Libredos, which a company has in trials or whatever chemically finally wins the race for FDA approval, is that it will be possible to take a next step to give women the power to switch on lust to free desire from the obstacles to get in the way. Female Viagra is the way drugs like Libredo and Libredos tend to be discussed. It's a misconception. Viagra meddles with the arteries, causes physical shifts that allow the penis to rise. A female desire drug would be something else. It would adjust the primal and executive regions of the brain, and it would reach into the psyche. So,
is that Spanish fly?
What?
Yes, it's exactly it.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Spurious Spanish fly.
I don't understand how you medically reach into the psyche. What are we? I mean, I know we're not like scientists here, but I'm
science.
I think there's probably chemicals that are linked to sex drive. And
is
stuff.
It booze? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, it just lowers inhibition.
It's cocktails.
Right. Well, you know,
it's like a roofie. No, it's not.
No.
It doesn't cause desire. When a woman passes out, she's not ready. Sorry.
No.
Just kidding. Not serious.
I know.
Okay.
But, I mean, would that be something you'd be down for? To be like, you know what? I want to be able to go, you know what? We're going to have a lust night. And I'm taking a pill and we're having a lust night.
Oh, yeah.
I think... Well, I guess I would have to figure out, like, what it's about. Because I'm, like, the kind of person who's like, I don't want to take aspirin if I don't have to. Like, I'm not a big pill popper. But I would be curious, I guess, to see what it does. Although, generally, if you have no lust most of the time, and you're like, if you never have lust, like, you probably want to look maybe at your partner or your schedule or your health and not just be like, okay, I have this ration of pills and everything's fine. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Christiana? You have a husband and a child.
I do.
And a hectic, busy schedule.
I do. I don't know what to say about any of that. I don't know.
The question would be, if you could just go, you know what, Rob, we're going to make Wednesday lust night and T's going to a babysitter and we're going to tear the furniture apart. Or something like that. I don't know. Okay, the car. I don't know. Either way. But you know what I mean? As opposed to like the, you know, worried about the distractions of the day and just be able to sort of throw caution to the wind with a pill.
I'm sort of like Becca. I barely take anything for anything. So I don't know if I would opt for the pill. I don't know. I mean, you know, things wax and wane over the course of life, points in life.
Sure, lots of waxing is important.
Things you had a lot of time to do when you were like 26.
Sure.
You don't have as much time to do when you're 34.
Right, but the whole idea of if you take the pill, it's like, boom, we're ready to go. Let's do it. I don't need 3 hours of romance and I'm ready to go now.
I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure.
So, Ted, let me ask you this. Would you crush up a pill and sneak it into Becca's vegan hummus?
Oh, my God. I would never crush a pill and sneak into anything of Becca's. I know the answer to that question.
Image of doing it like a cat.
Right, uh-huh, yeah. Right. Like put it in a hunk of butter and like pet my throat. Yeah.
It'd be soy, not butter, honey.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, a hunk of earth balance. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a margarine.
No, I figured, but so it's very interesting, and it's interesting that that's where science is going. Apparently, everything has been taken care of.
No, see, here's the thing, though. I don't think that it's bad that science looks at these questions. I was reading an Atlantic article the other day about the value in still putting money into incredibly rare disease research or things that may seem like maybe this seems like it's not the cure for cancer, but as part of what they research when they're finding all this out, they learn more about, you know, they learn more about hormones and genomes and who knows what, like mm-hmm. everything. So I don't think there's no real bad science, and you can't just right. stop. It's not like every scientist has to work on breast cancer only for women. You know, this is a
right. And I believe
this is a thing that really does affect quality of life.
I believe Viagra was supposed to be a blood pressure medication.
Right. And so it was an unintended consequence of that. They found out it worked for Boners. This other thing really well.
Boners.
So you never know what might ultimately come out of this, you know, this research or what it's come from. The one thing I do know is that the article had terrible photos with it that I found really disturbing. And I did not like
the Atlantic
at all.
The Atlantic one?
Or, yes. Oh, no, okay. No. The
New York Times.
This New York Times one on this article.
Yeah, I stuck to the one page that was about that because it's an 8-page article and I don't have that much time.
Yeah.
Question.
Yes.
I didn't do my homework on this. So is this already available now?
No.
It's
no,
not
no.
Okay.
Not yet. It's something that it's something
the
new.
The trial
that's
with like 400 people or something, pretty small.
Yeah. So it's still very early on in developing. So there you go with that. Speaking of things that will affect your mind, Amanda Bynes has gone off the deep end.
What happened to that girl?
And she's you're not supposed to believe anything unless it's cleared on her Twitter. You okay?
What's wrong?
I'm sorry. I just
it's not a spoiler. It's not okay. A spoiler thing. I put it on your Facebook wall, but it's okay.
I don't want to divert everything, but basically there's a movie coming out called Before Midnight, which I have waited 9 years to see. I don't know if any of the other listeners are into it, but it's the third in a trilogy that is taking 18 years to create. And I just glanced down at Christiana's computer and I saw the words Before Midnight in an article. And so I was like, I can't see it because the movie opened this weekend. So All the reviews are out, but it's not coming to Sacramento till the middle of June.
Of course,
so I have to be like,
why don't we just get on a train and go to San Francisco?
I know.
Oh, that's an idea.
It's got to be. It can't be that far away.
Or get in a car.
Oh, a car.
Because that's cheaper than the train.
I don't know. Train goes with the movie more, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, that's true. It does go to the movie more. Maybe we'll meet a stranger on
or
the train.
Or you could take a car to a BART station and then get on that train.
There you go.
There you go.
Or you can take a car to the train and get off the train and get on the BART.
Okay.
It's an option. Trust me. I've done it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not disputing it at all.
Okay. Well, I'm just putting it out there.
I'm just trying to get to San Francisco for under $55.
Okay. Well,
I think car is probably the best option for that.
I diverted everybody from Amanda Bynes, but maybe that was a good thing because she's really
sad. She doesn't need to be talked about.
She's kind of mentally ill, maybe, and I don't know.
You know, I've followed her on Twitter now because that's supposed to be the source for Amanda Bynes news.
Yeah.
You cannot believe anything unless she says yay to it on Twitter. She says nay to this, although she was, in fact, arrested in New York. She's been accused of tossing drug paraphernalia out the window of her Manhattan apartment. Officers were called to the theater district after a building manager reported that she was smoking an illegal substance in the lobby. She headed back to her apartment by the time police arrived, but she let officers in when they knocked on the door. Once inside, officers noticed a bong and other marijuana paraphernalia sitting on a coffee table, which she allegedly started to throw out the window. They've charged her with tampering with physical evidence, reckless endangerment, and criminal possession of marijuana. She was charged with endangerment because the paraphernalia could have hit someone below. Now, she showed up in court wearing the weirdest blonde wig I have ever seen. It was just crazy, just like...
not brushed. It didn't fit. It was sort of like... There's like a wig box at the jail. Like they're like, do you want any costume items for your court appearance? And she's like, sure. And she just like grabbed the community wig. I don't know. It was very odd.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she's denying this. She's not only is she denying that. Let me call up her Twitter page here real quick. She's denying that it happened. She's also now claiming that she was assaulted by the police. She's And there are a lot of people. Here's a tweet from
what did she say? Something about...
He slapped her vagina.
Slapped, I'm not even sure how you would do, because, again, that part's on the inside of your body.
He slapped really hard.
Vulva's the word. Use it.
He slapped really hard. Maybe it was an aftershock that went all the way through.
Was it in the course of some kind of pat down for weaponry, or was it like really like, I'm going to punch you in the vagina?
I don't know.
Standard training, I think.
Terrible.
For cops.
Here's what she tweeted. Don't believe the reports about me being arrested. It's all lies. I was sexually harassed by one of the cops. But you were arrested and you ended up in court. Let's see. Here's the full tweet. And this is, she had to tweet longer for this. I was sexually harassed by one of the cops the night before last, which is who then arrested me. He lied and said I threw a bong out the window when I opened the window for fresh air. Hilarious. He slapped my vagina. Sexual harassment, big deal. I then called the cops on him. He handcuffed me, which I resisted, unlike any of the reports stated. Then I was sent to the mental hospital. Offensive. I kept asking for my lawyer, but they wouldn't let me. The cops were creepy. The cops sexually harassed me. They found no pot on me or bong outside my window. That's why the judge let me go. Don't believe the reports.
Okay, well.
Well, I wouldn't believe... I read her tweet first because you sent us this stuff for the show. Tweet. I read the full tweet and I was like, oh gosh, who knows what to believe. But then you also sent us the video clip of her in court when they were deciding whether or not she should go out on bail. And, you know, her lawyer said they didn't find anything that she supposedly threw out the window. Nothing was recovered. Nothing was found on her. So all of that was true. So I don't know what to believe.
Well, that's what her lawyer said.
Wouldn't they give her a drug test or something like that?
Well, not necessarily, because I don't know about compelling a drug test in this case. Basically, the judge did not the judge let her go because she lives in Manhattan and he didn't think she was a flight risk. It had nothing to do with any of this other. Oh, well, they didn't find anything. They didn't do this because that wasn't what the hearing was about.
That's true, but if the police report said, we found the bong, here it is, the lawyer couldn't say they didn't recover a bong, could he?
Yeah, he could. He could lie.
Christiana?
There's no truth in the law, you guys. I can't really.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if it smashed when it hit the ground, then you would only be able to, you'd only find shards. So would you find the bong? No. Would you find pieces of it? Maybe. I don't know, but I'm starting to worry.
You're starting to?
I'm starting to really worry about Amanda Bynes.
I'm starting to wonder, like, at what point, you know, we've seen with Britney, we've seen it with Lilo. Like, at what point is it not fair game to talk about these people because they're obviously just so troubled? You know, like, at first it's kind of fun to be like, oh my gosh, what the hell is going on here? But after a while, does it become unethical to keep gossiping?
Yes, but.
Yes,
but. Still going to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we're not besmirching her here. We're merely discussing what's going on as opposed to...
I will besmirch her.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, that's okay.
Britney pulled out of it eventually, which is cool to a degree, but, like, at this point, I feel like nobody has any sympathy for, like, Lindsay Lohan anymore because it's been going on so long.
Right, and here's why. The reason people don't have any sympathy for them is because they are entitled celebrities who've got plenty of money and could do something about it, but choose to be the way they are rather than dealing with how much of a out of control being they've become. Britney Spears didn't get everything squared away until her father stepped in and put her into a conservatorship. And now she's back in a reason. I mean, she made a lot of money last year. She seems to be back on track, which is great for her and her kids and everything else. Lindsay Lohan is trying to, I mean, she's in rehab as opposed to going to jail, and she's saying she wants to get out of this rehab because they don't let her have this drug that she thinks she needs to have. And you lose sympathy for people who don't want to help themselves. And that's why people have sort of lost sympathy.
But is the lesson here that having a supportive family makes all the difference? Because when we've seen Lindsay Lohan's parents, they're terrible and they just want to make a buck off her. And I don't know what Amanda Bynes' family situation is, but, you know, Britney did have sort of these Southern parents who could kind of step in and, like, do some family value stuff with her. And I don't know. I mean, if you don't have that sort of thing and you're in your 20s and you have all the money in the world and you're processing a lot of trauma and you have some character defects, is anything going to help you? You know, I don't know.
Well, not doing drugs is a good start. True. But and the other thing, here's the problem with Twitter. Twitter allows people, and I'm looking at one right now, someone tweeted to Amanda Bynes, and she retweeted it. The media needs help, not at Amanda Bynes. So it's just it just feeds into that denial that there is a problem. At a certain point, when the world is out to get you, it's not the world, it's you. So yeah, I'm kind of hoping for some sort of turnaround, but no idea. It's really weird. On the other side, good news, West Sacramento, more than two dozen sweet jobs are opening up. Ahead of the new Krispy Kreme location, the company is looking to hire 30 people for full and tart fart.
For fart. Full fart, what?
Yeah, well,
sign me up.
Eat them, yeah. The new donut shop's going to open on July 9th, so celebrate America. It's going to be near the IKEA. First 100 people in line on opening day will receive free donuts for a year.
Oh, great. Oh.
So go ahead and get in line.
No.
I wonder, here's my question. If you're a homeless guy and you got nowhere to be,
do it. Get there like 2 days early.
And you're if the first 100 people in line are all homeless people, are they just going to be giving away?
Homeless people want to be diabetics, you guys.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. If you're a homeless person, you've got nothing else going on.
Maybe you could trade it every so often for like an In-N-Out burger or like Five Guys or something else from that complex. Of
yeah, they've got everything over there.
You could just sell them on the secondhand donut market.
Yeah, because everyone wants to buy some donuts from the hobo.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's what I'm looking for. Hey, you want to buy any donuts?
You can eat them for dinner and lunch.
That's right.
See, that dude behind you was selling secondhand donuts.
Yeah, well, no.
He was hoping you'd give him some of his.
I would not compare Marie's Donuts to Krispy Kreme. One's more of a local craft store, and the other one's literally an assembly line.
Oh, I'm with you. I don't care that Krispy Kreme is coming. They're a little late to make it. I don't know.
They're a little. They're back though because they expanded like crazy in the late '90s, and they overexpanded, and so then they closed a shit ton of stores, and now a bunch of those stores are opening again because donuts are on the uptick.
Yeah, in fact, in Roseville, they reopened in the exact place where they closed before.
Same in Concord, I think. There's one you can see off the freeway that was closed for, you know, the better part of 10 years, and then poof, it's back.
Yeah, so I think it's good that the economy is bouncing back and they can open, so.
I don't get why Dunkin' Donuts ever makes it out here. That's off topic.
Or Tim Horton. I mean, why can't we go foreign imported?
Dunkin' Donut, I think they are going to be bringing Dunkin' Donuts back to California. They were here for a while and didn't do that well, and I heard they are coming back, but I'm not sure exactly where.
Or Winchell's. No one knows what Winchell's is.
That's Southern California. That's Southern California, yeah.
They had them up here, too.
When I was a kid, Winchell's was the only donut shop that I knew about.
Old school, North
Bay. I haven't seen them in a while.
We had Granny's Donuts in town was great where I grew up.
Granny's.
And then there was an unfortunate Christie's Donut Shop, which...
Chris Christie's?
No, just Christie's, which Chris may or may not have led to some teasing of me.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Christie's unfortunate donuts.
They're saddening.
Oh, nice.
So did you used to be called Christie when you were a kid?
Sometimes. Well, not really. My parents said they gave me my name with the intention of calling me Christy. They never have.
Oh.
But I went through some phases where I really hated my name, so I tried to use shorter versions to kind of mix it up a little bit.
I love that they meant to call you something else and just never got around to it.
Yeah.
No, I had the same thing. My mom named me Rebecca so that I could be called Becca because she preferred that, but they never called me that. And so I went through Rebecca and Becky, and I didn't become Becca until on my own, like in college. And so my mom's grand plan finally worked out, but it took like 20 years.
Mm. And I was born Theodore, yet I was always Teddy until I insisted it. Bar mitzvah age, it was time to man up and be Ted again.
Ooh, one syllable.
Yeah, real man only one syllable.
Yeah, it's interesting. My parents always went with the full name Nathan. And
never think of a Nathan.
But in school, it's where it sort of got shortened, which is fine. I prefer Nate to Nathan. But my dad, whose name is Raymond, has always stuck with Raymond. He doesn't get mad if people call him Ray, but he will. That's not what he prefers. Mm-hmm. And his logic is, my parents named me Raymond, not Ray.
Ah,
so
true.
I always get challenged on mine, like when I introduce myself to people. It happens a lot.
That's so funny.
Like I'll be like, you know, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Becca, and people will be like. Like, Rebecca? Is your name actually Rebecca? And I'm like, well, yeah, but nobody calls me that. And sometimes they'll press it and be like, but is that what it says on your birth certificate? You know, and I'm like, who cares? I don't know. People get really confused and worried about Rebecca and where my last syllable went, you know?
We have the and where I went to high school was a very diverse community. And for a lot of Asian, like second generation immigrant kids, they have like the American first name, which may or not be their actual first name.
Right.
But I had a lot of friends who like their names were Chris or Dave or Jack, or, well, Jack's more common now, but could the Chris and Dave, every so often teachers would want to be serious with them. They'd be like David or Christopher. And they'd be like, nope, that's not it. It's not short for anything. It's just, that's all it is.
Right.
So that,
it's really interesting. I think it's because it's the last part of your name that you took, because everybody goes, oh, Ted. Oh yeah. His name's probably Theodore. No one goes as in Theodore.
Yeah, it'd be like if your name was just like Door,
although
or something.
That'd be awesome.
It's not that uncommon. It's, like,
you wouldn't think so, but it happens a lot. People are always like, "Do you mean like Rebecca? Is that your real name?"
I mean, like whatever the fuck I told you. Right. You back off.
Let's go with it.
See, if I were a nerd, I would just go with Han, just like the last three letters of my name. It didn't work out that way. Sadly, I did not grow up a nerd. Oh, well. Aww. You know who did?
There's still time.
Wolf Blitzer. Oh, for me to grow up? No, there's not. Wolf Blitzer was down covering the tornadoes in Oklahoma, and he was desperately looking for someone to say something really soundbitey for him. So he's interviewing this lady and her little kid who had survived the tornado. So let's take a listen to...
Anders is
Brian.
Blessed.
He just...
Yeah, Brian. You like Brian, huh? That's your dad. But we're happy you're here. You guys did a great job. And I guess you got to thank the Lord, right?
Ah.
Do you thank the Lord for that split-second decision?
I'm actually an atheist.
Oh, you are. All right. Don't thank the Lord. But yeah, you made the right call.
Yeah. Yeah. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Of course not. So.
Nice.
Hey. All right, Anders. Want to try one more time?
I love that the baby had taken away his microphone.
Yeah. You are not qualified, sir.
We're atheists. Taking this back.
You know, yeah. She was really quiet about it. She was like, actually, we're atheists.
Mm-hmm.
But he just kept pressing her. And you know,
he really did. Do you thank the Lord?
You must thank the Lord.
Specifically, Lord.
The Lord?
Which one? Which Lord? That Lord?
Lord?
Do you thank the Lord? Actually, we're atheists. Oh, well, that's okay. You made the right choice anyway. As though somehow being atheist is hurt your ability to do that. Big storms. Did you guys see I'm not going to play this, but they're interviewing this young female journalist is interviewing this old lady, and there's just devastation behind her, and she was talking about how the plan was to go inside the little bathroom inside the house, her and her little dog, and she got out okay, but she called for her dog and dog didn't answer. So, and then at that point, the reporter goes, "Dog," and you see the little dog because
trapped
the old lady,
under the rubble,
trapped under the rubble, just like clawing its way out, and the dog was able to come out.
No, let's flesh out a little bit. The lady goes over to help the dog who can't get out, and she's trying to pull off like I don't know, like a probably like a kitchen counter or something off this dog. And then finally, everyone's still watching, right? Yeah. And the final lady's like, "Can someone help me, please?" And so I think either a producer or the reporter,
no, the
like
reporter
helped
went over
eventually, but it wasn't the first action was not to go in.
No. Well, the camera guy has to keep shooting.
Well, the camera guy has
and the
to
reporter
a camera
was wearing her nice heels, so she couldn't be bothered to do that. But that was another nice story out of some real devastation with I believe the final death toll was 24 on the tornadoes, and it was just absolutely crazy, like a 2 mile wide tornado, which is unfathomable. But in light of Wolf Blitzer's little faux pas, turns out atheists are in a lot of places you weren't expecting. Like in Arizona, the lawmaker in charge of house prayer has told his colleagues that he is in fact an atheist. He was put in charge of delivering the opening prayer at a session of the Arizona House of Representatives. He surprised colleagues by using the opportunity to talk about his atheism and to quote Carl Sagan. Juan Mendez, who's a Democrat from Tempe, put in a request to have Secular Coalition of Arizona Director Sarah Blaine speak before the House during yesterday's prayer time, but his request was somehow misplaced, so he decided to address the House in her stead. Most prayers in this room begin with a request to bow your heads. I would like to ask you not to bow your heads, he told fellow legislators at the start of the invocation. I would like to ask that you take a moment to look around the room at all the men and women in here in this moment, sharing together this extraordinary experience of being alive and of dedicating ourselves to working toward improving the lives of people in our state. which apparently blew their mind.
Whoa.
And then they
decided to vote to take away some rights from Mexicans just for fun. Next. That's just what they do on a Tuesday, you know?
Yeah, he read a Carl Sagan quote, which I will not bore people with because...
Oh. I'm sorry. It was beautiful. He's not boring.
He is boring. Carl Sagan is boring.
Shut up.
Boring.
Stick a turtleneck on it. He's awesome.
Cool.
This guy's speech was... Billions. Really beautiful, actually, and I loved it because most of my interaction, I have a lot of friends who are atheist. I don't happen to be, but a lot of my friends are. And most of my, like, any discussions that I have in my life that have to do with atheism happen on Facebook. And they're usually people just kind of being like, religion is terrible. Oh, my God, it's so awful. And it's the root of all evils and it causes all wars. And you hate science. And it's like, you know how people argue on Facebook, which is just... it's not very thoughtful and there's no real time to be eloquent. And this guy's speech actually I found so beautiful, like just celebrating humanity, celebrating what's actually here. And it was obvious that he had a real dedication to love and compassion and to service and to making the world a better place. And I loved it and I could completely relate to it. And I just thought, I wish that I heard more public expressions of atheism that were about that, about, you know, the... what you stand for instead of what you're fighting against.
Right.
You know?
And interestingly enough, as someone who went to Catholic school and has had plenty of religion classes in his life, I found his opening statement to be pretty Christ-like, if you want to go into it, about looking around at the people around you and the people that you serve and how you treat people. That's really the message that religion should be conveying, but oftentimes gets lost. Because you're like, you don't do it like we do, so you're wrong. And yeah. I mean, Christopher Titus, the comedian, I believe said it best when he said, I don't care what religion you practice or if you practice religion, whatever you have to do to keep from stabbing me at the ATM, I'm cool with.
Woo!
So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If that's how you want to celebrate community and togetherness is to go to church on Sunday or synagogue on Saturday or... you know, face Mecca in the morning, whatever you got to do, go ahead and do it, but quit being a dick.
Hear, hear. And that goes for the atheists too.
Yeah.
Quit being dicks.
Yeah, Keith.
Thou shalt not be a dick.
Yeah. That's,
Keith.
That's, yeah.
No, Keith is actually a very ethical and respectful atheist. And I don't know. I appreciate knowing Keith quite a lot. I've learned a lot from him.
No. I'm just busting. I'm just busting on Keith. Keith Lowell Jensen, Sacramento-based comedian.
Go buy his CDs.
He'll answer to God ultimately anyway. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, Keith. Mwah. Forget the mwah part. That was weird.
You know who's going to answer to God sooner than Keith?
Jews.
Rob Ford.
Sorry, I'm a Jew. It's okay.
Not a Jew. He is the mayor of Toronto, though. And this showed up on Gawker a little while ago. It's turned into an Indiegogo crowdsourcing thing. Basically, here's the appeal. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford smokes crack cocaine. Gawker is trying to purchase a video of Ford smoking crack cocaine. If we raise $200,000, the owners have promised to hand it over so we can publish it online. Gawker editor John Cook has watched the video, as have two reporters for the Toronto Star. This is what the video shows. In Cook's recounting, Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, is the only person visible in the frame. It's well lit, clear. Ford is seated in a room of a house, and one hand is a clear glass pipe, the kind with a big globe and two glass cylinders sticking out of it. In the other hand is a lighter. The slurred voice off camera is ranting about Canadian politics and what sounds like an attempt to goad Ford. Ford, pipe in hand, lighter in the other, is laughing and mildly protesting at the sacrilege. He seems to keep trying to light the pipe, but keeps stopping to laugh. He is red-faced and sweaty, heaving with each breath. Finally, he finds his moment and lights up. He inhales. From the Star's account, I'm effing right-wing, Ford appears to mutter at one point. Everyone expects me to be right-wing. I'm just supposed to be this great. And then his voice trails off. At another point, he is heard calling Trudeau a fag. Later in the 90-second video, he is asked about the football team, and he appears to say, though he is mumbling, they are just effing minorities. So,
nice.
Gawker is trying to raise $200,000 to buy this video from a crack dealer, basically.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, what is this $200,000 for? This is just somebody has this video and they just want to be rich?
Correct. That's what it is. Basically, this guy, Rob Ford, is a very powerful dude. He's the mayor of Toronto, which is a big deal. And he comes from a very wealthy family. And apparently, as we're reading this, there's 32 hours left in the Kickstarter campaign. They're at 178,000.
But they stopped it because they no longer, whoever owns this video, if it exists, has stopped returning calls.
Right. They haven't stopped
it. This and like the Gawker people are trying to buy it and they won't.
Yeah, they haven't stopped it per se. What they've done is they do have a big bold thing that says read the update before contributing.
Saying they don't have confidence anymore that they can
correct
close
and,
this deal.
And if they don't reach the goal, then everyone's going to get their money back. Mm-hmm. If they do reach the goal and they can't get this guy, they're going to give it to a Canadian drug prevention charity. So the money is going to go to a good cause either way. But
rip off. I want to see a dude do drugs or I don't care. I want my money back.
Now we'll just have to watch the old Marion Barry.
I know. And that's great. I mean, see, that's what happens. That's the difference between the government doing it. The government doing it and private enterprise. Private enterprise, clear and in color. The government, grainy, black and white.
If you are a public figure, don't do the drugs with anybody. Like, go hide in your closet or something where you know there's not a camera. I mean, so many, like, celebrity kind of videos and stuff. Everybody's got a camera now. Everybody. And everybody wants to make money off of you doing something that you shouldn't be. So don't trust anybody, public figures who are listening to this show.
Also avoid crack.
Yeah, don't smoke.
Yeah, crack that. Is whack, y'all. Drugs, period.
I think that's an important thing too. So very good point.
It's two things.
Yeah, very good point. So Rob Ford, just Google Rob Ford. There's plenty of The Daily Show had at him this past week. There's plenty of great videos of him stumbling on a football field, walking headlong into a camera. It's good stuff.
What?
Yeah, he rounded a corner and he just walked face first into a camera. It was great.
Oh.
So
ouch.
from Rob Ford to the other end of the spectrum, there's a woman who claims she's too pretty to have a job.
And I claim this article is complete bullshit.
Oh.
Well, Ted sent it to me, so it's his fault.
Blame it on me.
No, not. I mean, I just think the way the article's written is
I agreed with you on that.
Weirdly framed and weirdly
I commented similarly. Yeah, I didn't like the way it was framed. I actually felt like she was getting a rough up. Bad. But why don't you read the article? Sorry, Nate.
Sure. 33-year-old Laura Fernie, blames her good looks for a host of problems in her life, including her unemployment. She said she was forced to quit her job after being constantly harassed by male coworkers and dealing with female coworkers who were jealous of her beauty. Now, Fernie, who lives in an apartment paid for by her parents and hasn't held a job in 2 years, she's also claiming it's simply not her fault. It's not. I'm not lazy. I'm no bimbo. The truth is, my good looks have caused massive problems for me when it comes to employment. So I made the decision that employment just isn't for me at the moment.
That's the part. That's the quote that I don't understand.
It's not my fault. I can't help the way I look. She said she endured constant harassment in regards to her face and body while coworkers ignored her professional achievements. Male colleagues were only interested in me for how I looked. I wanted them to recognize my achievements and my professionalism. But they all they saw was my face and body, she said. Even when I was in a laboratory in scrubs with no makeup, they still came on to me because of my natural attractiveness. There was nothing I could do to stop it. So it's a terrible problem to have. Becca, how do you deal with being too pretty?
Well played, sir. Well played.
That's not a problem I've ever had to worry about.
Ted, how do you deal with being too pretty then?
See, that's the thing. I mean, they totally make it sound like I think they're totally sidestepping the actual problem that exists and that she may very well have been experiencing all this harassment and things like that. And they just make her sound like a prima donna who just, you know, she's just made this choice and she's, I don't know. I think there's more to it than she's just a horrible person.
The article's pretty mocking. Yeah.
It's also very shallow and short.
Yes.
I do think it's interesting. I mean, there's so much pressure on women in society to look different, like, and change your shape and change the way you look. And whenever, this isn't the first of these kinds of articles where it's like a woman said she was pretty and it's like everyone's like hates on her like immediately. Like, as a woman, you're never supposed to say I'm pretty, I'm beautiful.
Like, if you say that, people hate you,
but you can't acknowledge it.
Yeah, but you can't acknowledge it. You always have to say that you need to lose 5 pounds or that you, you know, that something...
Your nose is wrong and your right. hips are wrong and your eyebrows are bad. Or...
Well, that's what Amanda Bynes does, and everybody's mad at her now. She keeps saying she needs another nose job now. After she said after seeing her booking photos, she needed another nose job.
She has problems.
She was so pretty. I mean, she still is actually pretty, except she looks kind of, you know, messed up right now. But, I mean, when she was, like, the little brown-haired... you know, teenager on TV. She was so beautiful.
There is her first problem.
She needs a nap.
Being a brunette gets you nowhere.
She needs a nap and a lot less drugs. Drugs yep. That's would true. Probably be it. I would disagree with being a brunette gets you nowhere.
There's... I'm just kidding. I'm a brunette.
Yeah, I know.
Nah.
Oh, I see. That's that self-effacing thing that you have, the ladies have to do. I get it.
So now I'm kind of like a graying net. I don't know what you would even call that when the gray starts to... It's not overtaking the brown yet, but it's, you know, it's making a play.
Wow, just a little salt and pepper around the edges. That's one thing that I always found very interesting when guys start to get gray hair. It's supposedly, because there are a lot of women who are like, oh, I love a guy when he starts to get the salt and pepper mm-hmm. hair. And there is not a single guy that I know who's ever actually said that out loud about a woman.
I know. No.
I think a woman with graying hair is hot.
Yeah, thank you, sweetheart.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just really weird that, I mean, it's not that guys will be like, oh, no, she has some gray hairs. I don't want anything to do with her. But guys will never say that the way women say, oh, I like a guy with a little bit of... There's no guy who refers to women with all gray hair the way that women will refer to the guy who plays Roger Sterling on Mad Men as the Silver Fox.
Right.
Sometimes. I don't know. I mean, there's some women who are still like sex symbols with...
She's a handsome.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. But won't say like, "Ooh, I love that gray hair." Yeah. Like, guys won't say that.
I don't. It's my one area of vanity. I just colored my hair for the first time because the gray are too many grays for me.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's pure vanity on my part, and I kind of wish that I weren't that way, but I just decided that wasn't an age part of the aging process that was going to happen. Like. Gracefully on my head.
Yeah, I think we're all entitled to a little bit of vanity in one way
or
another.
Sure. I can't afford to color my hair, honestly. Like,
I
have not had a job for 10 months. And I mean, not that I will necessarily when I get a job, but it is an expensive venture to cover your gray. And I don't really have the means for that at this point.
Yeah, for me, I only have a few gray hairs and they come in like in my beard and in my sideburns. And I recently grew my goatee back and I saw that and I'm like, wow, do I really want a goatee if I'm going to have gray hair in it? Well, it's actually white hair. It's not gray. It's white.
White.
So it's really weird. It's
white
like the
Vermont white. White
it's,
mountains.
It's crazy. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's one of those weird things. So I tend to trim it down so that they don't get longer. I know it's a weird thing, but yeah, as you get older, you sort of fight that whole thing.
But the other side of that coin for men is that, I mean, women will say, oh, you know, a man with gray hair, it's distinguished. But a lot of women don't say, oh, a balding man is hot. Like, if you're all bald, you might look virile. But the whole losing the hair thing is something men have to deal with, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think that's absolutely fair point, Ted. Yeah be poor nice us. To us balding guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been pushed around too long by
it's
you.
Not our, it's not our fault it thinned out. We didn't do anything bad.
We were
just born this way.
Yeah.
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 All right. Real quick, before we get to small town news, I want to remind you that if you're going to be doing your shopping for Father's Day, perchance, I just did my Father's Day shopping. I did it on Amazon. If you're going to do it on Amazon, please go to NateDarlingShow.com before. Click the Shop Amazon tab. It'll take you right there. It'll take an extra second of your time. It will not cost you anything more, and it helps support the show. So please help support the show by shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. Now, a fresh new segment on the show called What Did You Rather? So you get to choose one or the other.
Ooh.
And we'll do this just before Small Town News, as opposed to Florida Corner for this special episode.
Ooh.
So let's start out. We'll start out with Christiana. Christiana, on an airplane, would you rather be next to a crying baby or a smelly person?
Crying baby.
Ooh.
Becca?
I'm going to say crying baby also.
Ted?
Wow, that's a tough one, but I think I could put earplugs in my ears than I more easily than in my nose. So I'm going to go with the... it's hard. Crying baby. Crying baby.
Unless I were recently postpartum and lactating.
Oh, well, fair. But yeah, I would go with crying baby too, because I've been on planes with a crying baby behind me, and I just put in the earbuds. I listen to my favorite podcast, like this one.
I think to play this game right, it has to be like you can't take steps to block whatever it is that's going on.
No. But there's only it's what you could do in the situation. Like, if you're on an airplane, it would not be unusual to have earplugs or earbuds.
Say if I were sitting next to a smelly person, I'd get up and move.
Yeah, but you can't necessarily move.
You can't necessarily. Well, you may not have earplugs with you.
Well, then that's your fault if you didn't bring your earbuds. Mm. You should be able to. All right, now up next, would you rather be in the checkout line? Would you rather be dealing with the chatty small talker, or be behind the coupon lady who then writes a check?
You should not talk shit about my mom, okay?
Oh.
Ted. Which one is she?
The coupon lady who writes a check.
Ted, who would you rather deal with in the checkout line, the chatty small talker or wait behind the coupon lady who's writing a check?
I'll take the chatty small talker because, at least I know I'm making progress and I'm almost done. But, you never know when the old lady's going to be done. Oh my God! Why does she do that? Why don't you get your checkbook out and ready at least? Because you know you're writing a check. Get a debit card, but at least get the check out. Don't like say, "Oh, surprise! I have to write a check. Let me go into my bag, which is enormous and has a million things in it, like all my bingo cards." This has happened to me.
And the checkbook settles at the bottom too.
Exactly. And then, oh, what store am I at? Oh, wait, this is Bel Air, not Raley's. Let me start over again. What day is it? Oh, duh. You remind me of my grandchild.
Becca, what say you?
I would actually be fine with the coupon and check lady because I'm a really patient person and it would give me more time to look at all the magazines in the aisle. And that's how I keep up with the Kardashians, as we all know, just from magazine covers. So I would enjoy actually just the extra time to chill out.
Christiana, which would you prefer?
Chatty. No, coupon person, because I don't care.
Oh.
You don't mind waiting?
I'm not a patient person.
It depends on, it would entirely depend on like my mood at that moment. Because I could see how both of them could be the worst thing ever depending on your headspace.
Well, that's the idea. That's the would you rather idea. I'm going to go against Ted here and pick the person who writes a check because I'm probably listening to a podcast, so I can wait an extra 30 seconds while she's doing that.
30 seconds? You're kind of kidding me. I'm sorry.
And finally, in what would you rather? Would you rather be too rich or too pretty? Becca, let's start with you.
Oh, I'm going to go with too rich because I have dreams of, someday being my own Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and like really helping the world's problems. So I'm going with too rich.
Christiana, would you rather be too rich or too pretty?
Too rich.
Ted?
Now, I'm guessing you mean too rich because people are going to be hitting up for money all the time and taking pictures of you and reporting when you throw your bong out the window.
Or just would you like to be pretty?
Oh, that would be nice to try, but I'm going to go with the rich thing also. Just because I want to, you'd spread the wealth. I'd like to get it out there. So. And some for myself. I want to go to Italy and Monaco. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I think that's is for a guy. I think that's really easy. You would definitely go too rich. Definitely too rich for a guy. Yeah. If you're a certain type of female, you might go too pretty because then you go, oh well, then I can meet the guy I want, and then we can do whatever and blah blah blah.
And I'll marry rich. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
If I were rich, I could buy better looks too.
Good point.
That doesn't always work out, though, as we've seen from
Amanda,
Burt Reynolds, and
I'd quit my job. I'd be able to go to the gym every day again.
If you were pretty or rich,
or rich.
Okay, you can't live off being pretty, I guess.
No, you can't.
You're pouring yourself. I don't know
what.
If you're being rich and you're going to get like you're depending on other people to support you, you're pretty much pouring yourself.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where you were going with that. So. Oh.
You a man or a woman, I just think that's not the best way to go.
Okay.
That's judging.
Well, that's okay. That's what we do here. It's a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Podcasts are for judging, and they're for this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. Small town news. We go to Maine, where a banger man has been charged with public lewdness. Oh, not Maine. I'm sorry. It's upstate New York. It's not Banger, Maine. It's Bangor, New York. Oh. Malone Village police arrested a North Bangor man on Wednesday night after he allegedly became illegally intimate with a Sears employee's shoe earlier in the week.
Uh-oh. Could happen to anyone.
Ronald Rock, 31.
That's not a name.
Is charged with one misdemeanor count of public lewdness. Village police said Rock entered Sears on West Main Street in Malone on Monday and started a conversation with an unidentified female employee about her footwear. He liked her shoes, and he wanted to buy a pair for his mother, Chief Christopher Primo said. Rock then asked the employee to remove her shoes so he could look at it up close, and she acquiesced to his request. Primo said. At that point, Rock kneeled below the counter to where the cashier couldn't see him, allegedly placed the shoe inside his pants, which he had unzipped, and masturbated with it.
Oh, gross.
What?
That is a shoe fetish gone wild.
She was creeped out, so after they left...
Really? Why? No.
After he left, they checked the tapes and saw it on surveillance video.
Oh, good.
He is to answer the lewdness charge in Malone Town Court. Coming up on May 28th, he could be sent to county jail for up to 90 days where he won't have any shoes to masturbate with.
There's no reason for this. We have Craigslist. You can get your shoe needs met without just like accosting someone on their job.
Yeah. Oh, not necessarily in a small town.
Oh.
I'm looking for a sexy red
no
high
Craigslist,
heel.
Craigslist, Bangor.
Well, here's the worst part. It's like, hey, I like your shoes. Maybe I get a pair for my mom. Could you take it off so I can get a closer look?
Ew.
And then she got creeped.
I don't know. You sound like you have that speech down pretty well.
Look, I lived there for a long time. I know that speech pattern.
Oh, God.
Here's the weird thing about it. Yeah, I know. Here's the weird thing. So she got creeped out by the fact that he kneeled down to get a closer look at the shoe. So they looked at the surveillance tape. In the meantime, did she put her foot back on the shoe?
Ew.
Does she have penis foot now?
Gross.
What would you do for the rest of your shift? I guess you'd get some other shoes from Sears. And
I would go buy shoes.
Right.
Burn them.
Yeah, but at that point, they're looking. Can you imagine if you're working at Sears and this guy says, hey, let me, and you give him your shoe and then you're weirded out by it and you've got your shoe back on and you go look at the tape and you see he's put his wang in it?
Gross. It's like, my shoe is not this sweaty when I took it off. No? Okay.
Who puts hair gel in a shoe?
Nasty.
My shoe's all squidgy.
Ew.
So, yeah, that's small town news for this week. Sorry. It comes from the Malone Telegram, by the way.
You should get some kind of, like, worker's comp or, like, overtime bonus or something if that happens to you. Like, that's above and beyond the call of cashiering
anything
at Sears.
Yeah. It is where America shops. And masturbates. They may work this into the new ad campaign. Come to Sears.
Or come at Sears.
The softer side.
come at Sears.
Come on in. Our shoes.
Oh, yes.
Disgusting.
It's disgusting and awesome all at once.
Disgustum. Wait, that's not a word.
Yeah, so welcome to Malone, New York. They've got a Sears. Enjoy their shoe department. But yep. Not like that, because it's a bad, bad thing.
Bad life choice.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this episode of the Date Darling Show. We'll have another new show for you Friday morning when you roll out of the rack and face the world with a smile on your face and a song in your heart. Because that's what we do. Because we're good like that.
Whee.
So until we see you next time, y'all behave yourselves and enjoy some Van Halen.
Yeah.
All right. Bye then.
Bye.
Ciao.